Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the Commission on Mother and Baby Homes report is due in just a few days. So what are the next steps? Well, I'm joined by Dr. Maeve O'Rourke, who is a lecturer in human rights in NUIG and co-director of the CLAN project, which has been campaigning against the legislation passed last week. And thank you very much for joining us this evening, Maeve. As I said, the legislation has been passed. It's been signed into law by the President. Do you accept, firstly, that President Michael D. Higgins really had very little choice but to sign that legislation?
Oh, yes, Sarah, I absolutely do. Our campaign was about the policy that the minister has been putting forward for the last month. Despite many attempts to have him clarify it, he has been saying for a month that he has to seal his entire archive when he receives it from the commission. We were trying to get this legislation to clarify for the avoidance of doubt that actually he will implement his EU law obligations under the GDPR to afford access to personal data. So the problem isn't what this bill says, it's what the bill doesn't say. It didn't take the opportunity to direct the officials that they must answer subject access requests when they receive the full archive from the commission.
Okay, and in terms of the sealing of the archives, I know that there's a very big campaign underway to repeal the seal, is what the campaign's been called. I think over 117,000 people had signed it the last time I looked. I'm just wondering what exactly it is that you would like to see happen here, because I know Minister Roderick O'Gorman has committed to bringing the issue of sealing the archives before an all-party Oireachtas committee and look at possible new legislation. Do you welcome that? Will that be enough? And what sort of new legislation would do better than what we have at the moment?
Well, it's positive that the minister wants to bring forward legislation in due course. There's a lot of work to do to afford access generally to archives. The Mother and Baby Homes Commission only investigated a tenth of institutions, agencies and individuals involved with forced family separation. And we also have de facto sealed archives of the McAleese Commission and the Ryan Commission. So there's a lot of work to do on legislation. But what I would say is we still need the minister to recognise he is an EU law, was an EU law lecturer. He knows this. The Data Protection Commission has told him that the minute he gets the full archive from the Commission of Investigation, he is under an existing EU law obligation to answer data access requests by people looking for the data on them in the archives. So he cannot avoid that, regardless of the fact that he will come along in due course and do better in relation to a much broader issue of archival access. So I would say he needs to move very quickly to instigate an expert committee in his department that will deal with data subject access request the minute he gets that archive. I think he also needs to put an expert GDPR committee into TUSLA, because he's also giving part of the commission's archive while keeping a copy. He's giving part of the archive to TUSLA, and they operate very problematic interpretations of the GDPR.
Yeah, and of course, I'm sure they would dispute that, but I understand that point has been made by yourself and other campaigners. I wonder, Maeve, can you tell people or explain to people why this is so important? Because I think, you know, there's been a lot of back and forth between campaigners and between the minister and other government representatives in relation to it. There's a very strong article by Fergus Finlay in today's Irish Examiner in relation to it, and he makes the point that if there is anything in the archive that's likely to cause embarrassment or shame to a government department or a civil servant or a minister or a bishop or a parish priest or a religious order, he's saying it'll be buried for 30 years. Or if there's anything that speaks to neglect or abuse or decisions to bury dead babies in the night, it'll be buried for 30 years. Or if there's anything that demonstrates the ability of religious orders to operate these places at a profit, it'll be buried for 30 years. I wonder if you agree with those points, or will we not learn about some or all of those things if they have happened in the Commission's report when it is published? It's going to be a 4,000-page report.
I do agree with Fergus Finlay that what the Minister has been saying for a month, that he has to seal, that's his word, seal the whole archive of the Commission for 30 years. I agree that that will mean that documents, like contemporaneous records of the actions in relation to forced family separation, will not, according to the minister, be available. Now, I am saying that he has many options open to him to change that situation. Actually, EU law requires him to make anything that relates to a person who's looking for it available to them. But Fergus Finlay is right that the actual contemporaneous correspondences, inspection reports, financial documents, those things have not been made available to the very people who suffered abuse for the last 5 years. And the whole campaign that's gone on for the last 2 weeks has been about making those primary sources of evidence available to people. Yes, the commission is writing its own story, is what, as Colm Keenan wrote in the Irish Times, you know, that's what it's doing. It's providing a story to the general public. But what it hasn't been doing, and really my opinion is, and I've said this for 5 years, what it should have been doing first and foremost was giving people who suffered some of the most serious human rights violations there are access to the records, to their own files, but also to the administrative records, so they could see and comment on and suggest further lines of inquiry in relation to the primary sources of evidence that were coming in. So now we will get a 4,000-page report, and that will be one perspective, but it is the survivors and adopted people's right, not only now to get their own information, but to be able to go behind what the commission said to decide if they got it right, or to pursue their own form of research and their own piecing together of what happened to them.
And what about the women who may have contributed to the commission's investigation but want these records kept secret, who believed that they were going to be kept secret for 30 years?
Nobody has called for people's personal testimony or own records to be given to the public. And that is when the government, you know, I have heard many accusations that I and others that I've been working with have been misinforming people. I actually think that it's been put out that that's what we've been calling for. That is, and I have to say categorically, that has never been what we are calling for. We have called for people to have access to their own file. There may be women, for example, who gave confidential testimony who would actually like a copy for their own records, for their own family files. And that is their right. Now, there's a very strange amendment that came into this bill during the course of the last 2 weeks' debate. The minister responded to Senator Michael McDougall saying some of these women actually don't want anything released even after 30 years. And so now the commission is required to write to everybody who came to the confidential committee to ask them if they would like their personal data redacted before it goes into the minister's archive. Now, nowhere in that amendment does it require the commission to give the people a copy of what they said. The commission has always refused to give people a transcript of their own testimony. So I genuinely envisage potentially the commission writing to people and saying, hello, you gave us testimony, we can't give you a copy, but would you like it redacted? Because it didn't explicitly tell the commission to give people their personal data. That is the problem all along for 5 years. People have not been able to get their personal data. And we are saying the minister now, when he gets the archive, has to give it to people.
Sure, and I do understand that. But just on the point of women who might be very concerned at this campaign, and maybe who don't have people representing them, you know, in terms of the counter campaign, if you want to put it like that, what can you say to them to allay their fears that if you are successful and if the archive is unsealed and is available to people, that, for example, even if it is anonymised, that someone couldn't sit down and look through the various bits and pieces and join the dots and say, well, you know what, that story sounds very like Bridie down the road and what happened to her. Like, could that be possible if this is all made available?
Well, our campaign has been about allowing people to apply for their own personal data. The minister's obligations under GDPR also, I suppose, extend to protecting victims and survivors of human rights violations from other people finding out their information without their consent. So the point here is the commission and the minister now, they have to implement the GDPR in full. The GDPR gives you a right to your own data. It also gives you a right to say, I don't want anyone else having mine, or I don't want mine processed in this way, or I want mine destroyed, or I want to annotate mine. And the minister has to implement all of those protections. So nobody has asked, nobody, for publication of everything that's in the archive. What we have asked for is for people to have access to their own personal data. And yes, the minister will hopefully come along then in due course and legislate for proper gradated release of various files in various ways that can be anonymised as necessary, but not of people's personal testimony to the public.
Okay,
we are talking here about administrative files.
You know, people like that, will they get access to the files under what you'll be asking for, historians or others, academics?
So in due course, when the minister comes along to legislate, what I will be recommending is that any records that came from the state or the religious that are administrative files that demonstrate how the system was run, what people knew, that those will be anonymised to the extent necessary to protect people in their private capacities, but made available first and foremost to those who suffered abuse, and then to the general public to the extent possible. But first and foremost, and people are getting older and they are dying, first and foremost to people who suffered abuse. And I mean, I should say as well that in the immediate term, the minister should be providing people with access not only to a line in a ledger, but the definition of personal data under the GDPR is very broad. So people should have access from the minister's archive to things about their family history, to administrative files that go to the question of how they were treated, let's say, in a vaccine trial. So you shouldn't just get your own medical records, but how the whole thing was operated. So, you know, unsealing isn't about giving the public access to every single thing in that archive. And it is certainly not about denying the rights to confidentiality of people who suffered abuse.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. That's Dr. Maeve O'Rourke, lecturer in human rights in NUIG and also co-director of the CLAN Project.